I'm delighted to tell you that my guest this afternoon is John Colcutt from Newdigate. John, good afternoon and welcome once again.
Hi, David, and thank you for welcoming me back to Susie Radio.
We've got good reason to have you here in the studio this afternoon, and the title of the reason is A Village at War. Tell us first how the project's going overall.
Well, the broadcast went very well, and hopefully you've got lots of listeners, so that was good. I thought the readers did a really nice job. The actual text is now available for schools to download on the website, www.villageatwar.co.uk, and you can download and perform in schools or for local history groups or whatever, and within that you get the audio visuals, you get the pictures, you get the music as well, so you can actually make your own show and either do it as a learning process or you can do it to raise funds.
Is the business beginning to build? Is it a bit of a slow burner?
It's quite slow at the moment, partly because I've got to learn how to use MailChimp, but once I've mastered that, then it should be getting out to most of the schools.
There's always something or other.
It's a bit technical, isn't it? But Mole Valley are actually prepared to fund Mole Valley schools who want to take it on, so hopefully we'll get the major schools in Dorking area to start thinking of performing it.
Anyway, it was a real departure for the station, and we're really grateful to you. It was a tremendous learning curve, but what came out of the front end, as usual, wasn't too bad at all, so thank you for that. Now, before we move on, I believe you've got a story to tell us, but this time it's founded in the Second World War.
Well, yes, it was. I had a phone call right out of the blue from a gentleman in Ross-on-Wye, and he said, Mr. Colcutt, is my father's name on your war memorial? And I said, well, what's the name? And he said, it's Francis Suttle, S-U-T-T-I-L-L. I said, no, it isn't. And I said, I'm not familiar with the name either. So anyway, it transpired that Francis Suttle Sr. was a barrister, and he bought a plot of land in quite a remote part of Newdigate, and he built a house. He had one child in 1937, and the gentleman I spoke to was born in 1940. Francis Suttle Sr. was educated in France, and he was a perfect French speaker. And in 1939, he joined the East Surrey Regiment. And they realised that he was going to be an asset because of his language, so he was transferred to the SOE. He was then moved to the West Country, and his wife and children moved down there and rented the house out. He set up a cell around, he was parachuted into occupied France, set up a cell around Paris, and he was eventually betrayed and executed by the Gestapo, as were all his staff. He had a big cell as well. And his wife sold the house in Newdigate in 1946. Well, I asked a couple of people who lived there at the time, and they can remember people coming and going, so that presumably was the time when it was being rented. Well, I spoke to the rector and also the chairman of the local British Legion and said, is it possible for this man to be remembered? Because his name doesn't appear on any war memorial in the UK at all. And they could see no reason why not. So not only was his name read out on Remembrance Day, but also they're going to add it onto the war memorial as well. So, as you can imagine, a very delighted man from Ross-on-Wye to learn that his father has been truly remembered.
That's a wonderful story to add a name after all this time. I must say, with doing the broadcast, the outside broadcast last year, and then the series this year, I feel as though I'm almost walking alongside some of those people that you've introduced us to from 100 years ago.
You do get very close to them, don't you?
Yes, it's an interesting part of the entire phenomenon.
I just had today an email from somebody, a writer, who's doing a history of the Norfolks, the first Norfolks. But he's asking about Captain Evelyn Broadwood from the famous Broadwood family, the piano manufacturers. And, of course, all their papers are now with the Surrey History Centre, so I've been able to put him in contact, and I'm sending him pictures and so on, so we can give him a lot of information about Captain Broadwood.
Tremendous. There's a link on the station website to the Village at War website.
You can actually hear about, and it's mentioned, where he describes the bullets whizzing past. And do you remember the bit where he said he realised his hairbrush had jumped out of his haversack, and he went back a few yards and he could have risked the life for a hairbrush?
I can believe that in a strange sort of way. It's almost the security of personal possessions, isn't it?
Yeah. If
John, opposite the church in Newdigate stands the Six Bells. Did you tell me that there's a smuggling connection with the Six Bells?
There's always been rumours in the village that there are underground caves leading to the church. When I first went to the village, it was spoken about, and some of the older people talk about it. As far as evidence is concerned, I'm not sure. But you will find, if a field has the name Owl or Owler in, Owler was the name for smugglers in the time. And of course, Newdigate's just over the Sussex border. And once the smugglers came in, once they crossed the border, they were away from the excise men. So it could have been true.
Well, I've learnt something this afternoon. Now, mutual interest in local history and beer. Let's turn to our third mutual interest. How's the pavilion appeal going in Newdigate?
Well, it's really gone very, very well. Within the village, we've raised £85,000-£90,000 on community funding, and that has been everything from the choir, the friendship group, village day, bonfire night, and it's been quite tremendous. Because we had the lashings game that you remember, and so we've raised £85,000. The English Cricket Board have come up with a substantial sum of money, as has Sport England, and as has a waste management company. So with a loan, we've actually reached our target. But we have to spend the English Cricket Board money by the 31st of January. So that means there's no holding back. We've got to start. So we're probably starting next week, but we still have a funding shortfall. And we're hoping, we have an application in with the London Marathon Trust, which we hear about in December. If we can land that, then hopefully we won't have to have a loan. But we've got to start. Demolition is going to start probably within a week. So we say goodbye to our dear little pavilion. All our stuff has been all loaded up now into boxes and ready to go into different people in the village. And it's going to be quite a community thing. The demolition, the clearing of the sites being done by local contractors. It'll be local electricians, local plumbers, local carpenters. So we said it's built by Newdigate for Newdigate.
Am I right in thinking that the Brocas has a connection with remembrance and a memorial to the war?
Yes, it was purchased after the Second World War in memory of the fallen of both World Wars. And it was purchased by the village. So the whole, the Brocas, the village hall, is run by the Newdigate Community Centre as a registered charity. And everybody else has a separate lease, the tennis club, bowls club, football, scouts, and the cricket club.
Now, John, you're not a man either to stand or to sit still. Any new projects, historical or otherwise, in the pipeline?
Well, I've recently taken over the editorship of a magazine called the Seven Seas magazine, which is a very, very nice club that I belong to in London for people who love ships and the sea. And so I do that, and of course the local history group we've got coming up. We've got a guided tour of Dorking Museum coming up on the 5th of December, and we've got a gentleman coming down from the brewery in Reigate to give us a talk, and that's at the other pub, the Surrey Oaks, and that's going to be on the 15th of January, starting at 7:30. 2,000 years of brewing, he's talking about, from 4,000, from 2014 BC to 2014 AD.
You mean there's been beer going for that long? Mm. Sounds absolutely extraordinary. What about fundraising events, John? Is there anything more in the pipeline for raising more money towards the pavilion?
There'll be another quiz coming up. We're also offering a buy a brick opportunity. It'll soon be on our website. And the idea is that you can buy a brick and you can have a name inscribed on it, and that will be built around the bar area. And so that will be coming on stream probably within the next couple of weeks.
John, we're going to hear from St. Etienne in a moment. Just remind us of the family connection.
That is the son of my wife's late sister, Pete Wiggs. He teamed up with Bob Stanley, who writes for The Times, and the lead singer, Sarah Cracknell. Their first record was the old Neil Young song, Only Love Can Break Your Heart. And then they've been successful ever since, and they've made films and soundtracks to films, and they've enjoyed a really, really successful career.
John, it was a real pleasure and a privilege to be peripherally involved with the making of the series A Village at War. I hope you're pleased.
Yes, they were very dedicated. They spent quite a lot of time in learning the text, and I think they felt it as well. And I think, like you, you feel that you've got to know those people, and you feel for them, I think particularly the piece about Margaret Tyler, the homeopathic doctor, and when she spoke about the death of her parents and her three close relations. Very moving, almost Vera Brittonish, really.
Thank you so much for allowing us the opportunity to use your material and indeed to broadcast it. It's very much appreciated. John, I'm sure we'll have the opportunity to chat on the airwaves of Susie 103.4 again. But for the moment, John Caldcutt from Newdigate, thanks ever so much for coming in this Friday afternoon.
Thank you, David. Nice to see you again.